Okay, good.
And AB2 is definitely this one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You're on the air.
No, this one here, I
so it
totally
doesn't say record continually, it just says it the one time.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi,
we love you, boobala.
She's my head transcriber, of course.
In California. Okay.
So I have to say hi to her.
She's in a big closet.
All right, I'll just go away then.
Bye, Mary.
See you later.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Come on.
Talk to the dead guy.
Dead. Oh, wait,
Indian.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Finish your tongue.
Watch your glasses under there.
Uh-oh. Just, that's comfortable. Got a knife
there.
Perfect.
Okay, go ahead. Bye. Is everybody settled now?
Can we sing you a lullaby?
Yeah.
Okay, we can sing you a lullaby.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This day, we shall be discussing partially this present wave, which is creating some struggles for individuals. But beyond this present wave, we shall be attempting to define certain aspects more clearly that perhaps you will generate a greater understanding yourselves in what you are experiencing or what you may be confused with in relation to this wave in communications. Now, as you are aware, it is labeled the emotion wave, for it is concerning emotion, which is your inner communications, not necessarily the feelings, but we will be addressing to feelings also, for they can be confusing and can also be mislabeled. One of the feelings that we will be defining is anger and irritation, and the difference between irritation and anger. And another would be frustration, which may be different from anxiety. In this also, I would pose to each of you, to begin with, what would you express would be the strongest or most persistent feeling that you are experiencing presently or recently?
For me?
Yeah.
Personally? Like, detachment.
Very well. And with detachment, what do you notice are influences of that?
Day-to-day kind of things that I have to do. That's what I feel detached towards. I don't know that it's necessarily influence.
When you express a feeling, generally speaking, it triggers other feelings that are less obvious or maybe more underlying, but it also influences your behavior differently. As an example, if you are sad, you are less motivated. You are more likely to withdraw more. Your behavior changes. If you are excited, you are more animated. And you are, in some situations, somewhat restless. There are actions that are associated with feelings, and in that, it influences your behavior and it influences what you do. Therefore, what would you express would be an influence of detachment?
Less participation in sorts of things that involve groups or cooperation or coordination.
Very well.
Like at work, for example.
Very well.
Oh, great. Well, if I could do it backwards, then it's sort of like, if I don't know what the feeling is, the expression is the willingness to avoid responsibility.
Very well.
So I don't know what feeling that's underlying, but that's how it's being expressed.
Which perhaps the feeling is precisely that, avoidance.
Yeah, good. I'll take that.
And this is another point. With some individuals, you may be noticing actions or behaviors that may be slightly or more significantly different and not necessarily incorporate the objective defining action of what you are actually feeling, which is another significant point. Individuals are not always defining what they are feeling, which contributes to confusion. And you?
I must say that I don't understand at all the difference between feeling and emotion, first of all. So if at some point within the session you could address that would be appreciated, unless everybody else knows. And as far as what I experience, it seems to be for the last couple of months or more, even, it's a feeling that something is changing. You know, awareness that changes are occurring, and myself observing it and sort of going more with intuition and impulses. I don't know also if I can encounter certain amount of feeling that you can do what you did with that.
And when you express that you are anticipating?
Sort of more aware of impulses, and not on the logical level, but sort of following impulse more easily and acknowledging intuitive type of knowledge that I'm absorbing. I mean, that's just one. There are a lot of others, but that's what comes to mind.
And what would you express would be, in recent time frame work, your most confusing or most uncomfortable feeling?
Forcing energy. In the area of some, I guess, not yet fully recognized beliefs.
And if you are forcing energy, what do you feel?
I just feel that I'm opposing, and I understand that I'm doing that. I am not yet fully able to somehow manipulate it very quickly. So I'm sort of, I guess, in the detached way, seeing myself a little bit of what I'm doing and allowing myself be whoever I am, even if it's not always where I want to be, but sort of not really punishing myself inside of my head for that.
Yes, but in that, what is the feeling? Are you anxious? Are you...
I know, I feel confused. Just feel confused.
Very well. Yeah. And you?
Very animated and very excited, and then at the same time, like the almost polar opposite. It's like simultaneous.
Excited in what capacity?
In the things that I'm learning and seeing and doing in my physical life, my gardening stuff and all the things that just really rock my world.
And simultaneously feeling what?
Somewhat fearful, somewhat like trepidatious about how I'm applying these new concepts, if I'm doing them right. Stuff like that. And realizing that, you know, there's not really a right and wrong, and I don't have to compare, which is a good thing to be learning. But just being myself is like trying on a new pair of shoes here.
I'm understanding.
But it's very exciting.
Let me stop momentarily in this one. You engage the statement that is expressed very frequently in relation to the right and wrong aspect. You are correct, there is no actual right and wrong, but you also do participate in this physical reality, which includes the belief system of duplicity, which is right, wrong, good, bad. And you do generate judgments of right, wrong, good, bad. In consciousness, in essence, no, there is no right, wrong, good, bad. And in concept, which I have expressed many times, it is beneficial for you to relax that assessment or those judgments of right, wrong, good, bad, to allow yourselves more expansion, but you will generate assessments of good, bad, right, wrong in many, many situations. It is a matter of allowing yourselves to recognize that, acknowledge it, evaluate whether your judgment of right, wrong, good, bad is associated with your own individual guidelines, and that is what you are expressing to yourselves, or whether it is not associated with your guidelines, and you are generating those types of judgments through habit in what you have learned and what you are familiar with. And in this, when you are acknowledging yourself that you are generating a judgment, it is important not to discount yourself. You will generate judgments. It is a part of your reality. But assessing the aspects of that judgment, is the judgment in relation to an outside source, and if it is, it warrants evaluation. Mm-hmm. If it is a judgment in relation to your own guidelines, it is a factor to be acknowledged, but also to recognize that your guidelines, once again, do not apply to other individuals. And in that, it is not a matter of discounting yourselves, that you generated a judgment, but more so evaluating what is prompting that judgment. Is it valid? And what does it apply to? Rather than generating the blanket statement or idea that all judgments should not be expressed in any capacity. That is, in a manner of speaking, ludicrous. For that is very much the same as attempting to eliminate one of your belief systems, which you cannot, not in this reality. But thank you for your sharing. And you?
Overwhelm at times, anxiety. I'm quite motivated more than I ever have been, I think, to just keep moving. But feeling like I am more aware than ever of outside versus inside, and at this point I'm just aware of it, and a little confused about how to make that distinction between real and valid and have it sort of diminish the anxiety. So, but I feel like this, there's pieces that I'm needing to address to, and I don't know what they are, and so I'm anxious. I'm like the sort of nameless anxiousness that doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, it comes with a punch, and it's been a little bit speeding up in the last few weeks. And that's all I know right now.
Very well. And you?
What mostly bothers me now, if I can't do what, if something limits me, if I cannot do whatever I want to do, it creates irritation probably from meditation most of the time. Or if I have to do what I don't like to do, I feel sometimes physically sick. You know, if I push myself to do what I don't like to do, I got sick.
Which is another example of feelings influencing actions. Mm-hmm. Being physically nauseated is not necessarily a feeling, although it is a physical feeling, but it is not what you term to be an emotional feeling, but it is being influenced. It is a physical action that is being influenced by feelings, mm-hmm. which what you are describing
go against myself. If I do something I don't like to do, but I need to do it because it's a job or something else, obligation, you know, I feel physically I can't do it. You know, I get nauseous, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Anxiety.
And anxiety, yeah.
And you?
On the one hand, it's avoidance.
This is not totally present every day, but it's a recent, fairly recent experience that I had, and it seemed to be sort of a primordial fear. Mm. And the actions that followed, along with a lot of nausea, and were to almost freeze in my tracks. And a sense of total alienation from the universe.
Very well.
As though it was mm-hmm. not speaking back to me.
Mm-hmm. Very well. And you?
Now it's me.
You're wrong.
On one hand, it's avoidance and perceived lack of freedom, just like Ina said. And on the other hand, being more emotional and easily more frustrated or angry about this lack of focus or perceived lack of freedom. And that is accompanied by physical symptoms of allergy.
Very well.
Allergy.
I feel very much like
Ina.
But it expressed a little bit different. I feel that I'm on my way, I'm doing something for myself, I'm following some direction, intuitive or not, but I do.
And when things start happening that are not within my guidelines, they aggravate me and I get irritated. And as a sequence, sometimes I do get detached for a while, but then the circle continues. So I find myself on a different side of the swing all the time. And detachment, supposedly, I think it will bring me to a balance, but I think it's a false detachment, just the surface, on the surface. So, yeah, but the feeling is a lot of irritation and perceptive not freedom.
Mm-hmm. And you?
A feeling that I'm losing touch with my abilities, my senses, my ability to do in my life on a daily basis and interacting with others. It's fearful for me. If this is the way I am now, what is it going to be in 3-5 years down the road? And my emotions will go up and down the ladder depending upon my performance in using my abilities. So I sometimes isolate myself, and I feel distanced from people when there is a difference of opinion. I try not to defend, but in taking the ball, right, not holding it but letting the energy go, I still feel like the ball hit me in the chest. And there's a physical counterpart, which is like almost unbearable. When I'm conscious of trying to let that energy go instead of holding it from the other person. And I'm surprised that it's so painful.
And how would you describe that painful feeling?
Oh, like a brick hitting my chest.
Well, what is the feeling?
What is the feeling? Like I'm going to... You mean physically or emotionally?
Emotional.
Oh, God, like I've been attacked.
Defense?
Yeah.
And anxiety?
Yes, and in trying to recall. And then trying to recall from that, trying to bring myself to a calmer state. Energy draining.
Well, and you?
A lot of confusion, a lot of alternating, like you, between a sort of anticipating, hopeful, excited state about various probabilities or possibilities of decision, but at the same time being very indecisive and nervous about making a decision. I feel like, oh, this path looks good, and then I get excited about it, and I go, oh, wait a minute, though, there could be this danger, this danger, this danger, this danger. Start to get fearful. And then, rather than decide, just shut down and become indecisive, and then somewhat, the feeling I really don't like is the feeling of, all right, I have to now resign myself to this reality, and it cannot be changed. Even though it alternates with the hope that it can be changed, and in fact, even the confidence that I have the power to alter. So it alternates between hope, frustration. There used to be a lot of anger, but right now I'm not angry like I used to be. It's just more, I'd be, as opposed to anger, it would be more frustration, irritation, that sort of thing. But the indecisiveness is difficult, and the resignation to the indecision is difficult. I'd rather make decisions and move in the direction I want to go in.
Well, and you?
Well, I feel a little anxious thinking about it was my turn to come and say something. But I've noticed recently, overall, I think most of my life, I've been anxiety has probably been the overriding emotion, but I'm noticing it's kind of moving more and more into a calmness, which I appreciate. And just talking about feelings, I know a couple weeks ago it was weird. I had a very emotional experience, and it was almost like I detached myself from my feelings, and I just allowed myself to float through them. Like, I knew I was sad, and I didn't resist being sad or even judge it. I just kind of, it was almost like all these emotions were laid out on a timeline, and this period was sadness, so I had to float through the sadness, and then I floated through the relief, and then there was, so even when I was experiencing that sadness, I still felt a calmness. I wasn't as anxious about it as much, so, but I do know since this calmness has been coming in, then the anxiety, when it comes, it's more, I notice it more because it's not as common as it used to be where I didn't notice it, so. I like that.
Cool. Very well.
I think overall, lately, the past few months, I've been feeling optimistic. And the behavior is that I'm trusting myself more. And I sometimes feel like I'm living in the future. That's how I describe it. But on the other side, I also feel impatient. That and I'm anticipating what's to come. I just want to know how to get it to come now. And so, both of those, I'd say.
Therefore, would you also express that there is some element of anxiousness?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very well. And you?
Lack of, although this is shifting a little bit at the moment, but I was creating a lot of overwhelm and tension and sickness, which since the first of the year I've been motivated to create a healthier regime in terms of exercise, the like. But after that, it's kind of like a drifting, unmotivated. There's a strong desire, it just comes over me, to sleep. It's almost like it just wells up inside of me and I want to just melt into sleepiness. So I take a lot of naps. Just drifting. And I'm creating some anxiety, but it's anxiety, but it's on the, it's focused around small challenges in my life that I have to deal with. It's nothing pervasive. The pervasiveness is drifting, this willingness to sit and look at the forest, or watch the clouds. Of course, I'm not working. I have the time, the space, losing track of time, and being unconcerned about it. That's where I'm at.
Now, would any of you venture to express some commonalities with all of these expressions? To an extent, not entirely.
Anticipation?
To an extent.
Physical symptoms.
Also to an extent. Mm.
Confusion.
Confusion, yes, quite definitely.
Unwillingness to do what is, well, unwillingness to do what we don't want to do.
Commonalities in all of these different expressions are disconnect, yes, confusion, but not necessarily an extreme confusion, varying degrees of some confusion. More so, it is a commonality of the separation, the disconnect, and in that somewhat of a feeling of isolation. Whether it be in what you term to be a positive or a negative manner, whether it be excitement or whether it be anxiety, there are factors that all of you are expressing in that direction of isolation, not interconnected, not feeling interconnected. Feeling that what you are doing is what you are doing. Not what you are participating with, not your interconnectedness with every other individual or all that is around you, but what you are doing and what you are feeling. Therefore, there is an aspect of isolation. This also is a part of this particular wave. Now, I will express in your very human terms. I present to you your factor of the good news and the bad news.
Yeah.
And this, the good news that all of you will welcome is that this wave is moving to its close.
Yay.
The bad news is that in its closing, it is intensifying more than it has throughout its duration.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but what's another one after that? It's going to be worse than this?
What could be? Don't even go there. The polarization of...
Not necessarily, but it is intensifying, and therefore your feelings are intensifying also. And you may be feeling certain expressions that you have not necessarily felt consistently previously. Or you may have felt these feelings previously, but in this time framework it may appear that there's no reason for you to feel what you are feeling. You observe around you, and it appears that what is occurring around you is moving familiarly, smoothly. It is not traumatizing. There may not be extreme drama around you. There may not be an intensity of distressing or disturbing actions that are occurring around you, and therefore it appears that there is not a sufficient reason for you to be feeling what you are feeling. That you can explain certain aspects of it to yourself, or you can even invent explanations for yourself in relation to what you are feeling. And I would express that this statement of inventing explanations is much more common than you may expect. That this is an automatic action that all of you do. You want an explanation. You want a reason. If you cannot find an outside reason, and you cannot discover an adequate inward reason, you will attach a reason. You will invent a reason. I am not generating this action adequately enough. Therefore, I feel what I feel. I am not being patient enough. I am not being accepting enough. I am not engaging other individuals enough. I am not being interactive enough. I am not being tolerant enough. I am jumping to conclusions. I am expressing too quickly. These are invented reasons. You may actually be engaging some of those actions, but remember, emotions are not reactions. Emotions are communications. They are subjective communications to your objective awareness. Feelings are signals. Feelings are promptings, inner promptings from yourself as a signal that you are generating an emotional communication. That there is a communication present and you feel to alert yourself of that communication, of that message. Very well, as an example.
Yeah, okay, because I don't get it.
You got mail, that's a feeling.
You got mail.
I am sad. Now, sad is an easy example.
Mm-hmm.
In this, generally speaking, you define and view the feeling of sad as a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Some action, some event, some expression is generated outside of yourself, and that triggers what you define as a reaction, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
No. The feeling is a response to an emotional communication. You are communicating to yourself in relation to a subject. Therefore, let us say that an individual or a physical manifestation that you define yourself to be close to dies. And you define yourself to be sad, and you define that as a reaction to the action that this physical manifestation died. Now you are experiencing loss. You are not reacting in the feeling. The feeling is your signal that you are generating a communication to yourself. An action occurred. You are responding to it in your evaluation of what that action is. The individual died. You are evaluating your assessment of that and how it is affecting you individually, what your inner response is to that action. In that, the feeling of being sad is merely a signal. It is an alarm, in a manner of speaking. You interpret a communication. This is your alarm. Listen to this communication. It is expressing what you are generating presently. What you may be generating in that moment of feeling sad is the emotional communication that you feel or that you are associating with yourself as being abandoned or lost or alone or disconnected or limited in your choices. This manifestation is no longer physically present. Now this limits my choices. This is how you individually, personally, are perceiving how you are being affected by this action. And you are generating a communication to yourself that is defining that. But generally speaking, what you pay attention to is the signal. I feel sad. You are not necessarily receiving the message. Mm. What is creating that feeling? And in some situations, you accept the feeling as the whole. And you allow that feeling, and you do not necessarily address to that. Temporarily, for a time framework, that seems to be appeasing. And it may appear, temporarily, that you may move beyond that feeling, and that you have addressed to it by allowing yourself to feel it. But without receiving the message, no, you have merely overridden the message by generating your attention only to the feeling, and the message, as I have expressed previously, will eventually repeat itself.
Mm. What is the message?
What I have expressed in that example, the message may be detachment, it may be isolation, it may be an association that your choices are now limited. That most definitely mm-hmm. is a factor. That your choices are limited. Mm-hmm. This is a factor in almost all of your scenarios. The limitation of choices. That if there is an outside action that occurs that is not what you want, it limits your choices automatically. It does not, but this is the association that you generate. Your choices are dependent upon what occurs around you. No, they are not, but this is very real. It is not necessarily valid, but it is very real. and it is what you automatically do. And when you generate that type of association, you act upon it. Therefore, what you feel is influencing your behavior. Your signal of feeling, but not addressing to the communication, influences your behavior in manners that may actually exacerbate the situation or perpetuate it and continue it for a longer time framework. Therefore, one feeling in being uncomfortable in any capacity may actually be addressed to in a relatively short time framework, perhaps even minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But that feeling may continue for days or weeks or months or even years. For the communication is not being addressed to. For what you see is the feeling. Now, as I expressed, feelings are very real. And generally speaking, they are very strong. Or, if they are not strong in the feeling itself, the strength may be expressed in the lack of a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In which there should be a feeling, but there is no feeling. Which is equally as obvious,
mm-hmm.
and equally as affecting, and influencing. And what you do with these feelings is you automatically generate turning the judgment to yourself.
Mm.
What am I doing? What am I not doing right? Even in, and many times more so, positive feelings such as excitement or in positive anticipation of the new. If it is not occurring presently, what am I not doing that is preventing this from occurring now? Which influences the impatience, which becomes difficult and uncomfortable. Regardless that what you are anticipating in your perception may be exciting and good. But it is not now. Why is it not now?
What about when you're feeling that way for a relatively extended period of time, and then you sort of feel like this little lull, and at that point, you know, you say what you said about to yourself. You say, well, what am I doing wrong? Because something changed. And then is that like because of an expectation or... you know, that should continue because that flow was going? Or is that a healthy expectation?
This is not a singular question.
Ooh!
And this somewhat leads into a deviation. You all incorporate a body consciousness. One of the functions of your body consciousness, automatically, is to regulate you. And in that, this is the reason that feelings, in your terms, seem to move in waves. Or they move, in your terms, up and down. that they may move and be expressed for at times extended time frameworks, but they will ebb. And they will not continue indefinitely. The reason that that occurs is your own body consciousness. To continue any feeling constantly, whether you term it to be a good feeling or a bad feeling, requires much more energy. Therefore, your body consciousness will automatically regulate for you and will quell feelings at times, and this is the reason that they move in waves, that with what you term to be bad feelings, you generate reprieves temporarily from those bad feelings, even if the reprieve is merely momentary. If it is good feelings, you may be disappointed that they also ebb and do not constantly continue. And in that, they are no different from what you term to be bad feelings. But with bad feelings, you do not want them to continue constantly. You want them to go away. With good feelings, they become fatiguing also, for they do require more energy. Also, your feelings are signals, which I expressed previously. Therefore, if you are receiving the message, if you are paying attention to the communication, it is not necessary to continue to generate the feeling. It is a signal.
So, in your example, what would be receiving the message? In your example of limiting choices, if I look at my situation and my judgments and beliefs surrounding it, and I figure that what appears to be limited choices are not really limited, and that kind of relaxes me, and I consider those choices that I did not see before, that would be processing the message or
yes.
addressing to the message.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then what do we do with that information?
And this is another automatic response. Doing with information. It is not always necessary to do with information. In many situations, it is adequate and enough to merely incorporate the information.
Because it does diminish the signal immediately. I have experienced that in a moment. So I get what you're saying in that little example. That makes sense.
Yes, and it is not always necessary to do with
right.
information, for you may already be doing.
Right.
So realization is enough, whatever came in the package, in the message, to realize what's in the message is enough.
For that offers you choices.
Mm-hmm.
One of the factors in not recognizing the message is that it clouds or blocks your view of choices. And you perceive that you do not interpret choices.
Right.
Or you may view that you interpret choices, but very limitedly. Only either or choices. Therefore, you may offer yourself only two choices. I will express to you, there are never only two choices to any situation. In this, when you are unaware of what your own communications are, it is affecting of you, for it prompts you to move into automatic responses. And it very much prompts you into the one automatic response of precisely that, doing with. Mm-hmm. Or doing something. Generating some action. Something must be done. And in that, you also reinforce and perpetuate. For in that, you become very fixed or very concentrated upon the doing some action rather than allowing, and you cloud yourselves. Even in what you view to be good scenarios or directions that you want. If you are expressing in that direction of doing, 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 I must do something, I must act, I must engage, many times you thwart yourselves with jumping into action when it is not necessary. It forces energy. In this, it matters not what the subject is. And it can be any subject that may be viewed as very mundane or very important. I shall incorporate a simple example that is very common with many individuals in relation to listening to their body consciousness and appearance. For many, many, many individuals, a subject that is important is appearance. And a part of appearance includes what? Weight. Whether it is too much weight, whether it is too little weight, regardless. And in that, once again, there are actions that the body consciousness automatically generates. In this, an individual may be viewing themselves, perceiving themselves not to be satisfied with a particular appearance and may want to alter their physical appearance and maybe generating an action of attempting to gain weight or to lose weight. In this very simple example, your body consciousness will comply with that instruction to a point. And when it reaches a particular point in which the body consciousness is functioning optimally, it will stop. And you will experience a time framework in which, if you are attempting to gain weight, you will stop gaining weight. If you are attempting to lose weight, you will stop losing weight. This is temporary, but in your automatic responses to want to do, which creates the push, it should be doing, I am at a stop point. Now what should I do? I should push harder. I shall eat more, or I shall eat less. I shall exercise less, or I shall exercise more. To prompt the body consciousness in the direction that I want. To augment my appearance, either in greater volume or less volume. And for a time framework, it may generate frustration, for the body consciousness does not respond. And you label yourselves to be stuck. I'm stuck at this particular weight. You are not stuck. Your body consciousness is adjusting. And it is expressing an acknowledgement. This is optimal functioning weight. Therefore, it is neutral for a period. It is temporary, but that temporary period of time framework can be extended considerably if you push, if you are not allowing your natural expression and allowing for that adjustment. Once the body consciousness has generated that recognition and that adjustment, it will respond to your instructions once again and continue to move in the direction that you choose. Therefore, once this brief time framework is accomplished, of the stop point, so to speak, it will continue, and you can continue, and it will move in the direction of gaining or losing weight. But generally speaking, you reach that stop point and notice quite immediately, I have stopped. I'm no longer moving. I'm no longer gaining. I am no longer losing. And you push. I will do more. And you do not allow. This is what you do in many, many, many situations. This is merely, once again, another simple example that you can easily understand. But you do this in many situations. You feel upon the brink. You feel upon the edge of some new change. But you cannot see it. And you begin to push. What is it? Where is it? When is it? How will it appear? What will I do? How will it conform itself? What change will I experience? I do not know how to prepare if I do not know what it is. And you generate this circle of questioning and doubting and opposing yourself and pushing. And in that process, you enhance the feelings. And the feelings influence more of the behavior. I feel more anxious, and now I will do more. And the more I do, the more anxious I feel. And it continues, and you generate a cycle. And it becomes frustrating.
You can say that.
Frustration is a considerable discount of self. You view frustration to be a normal, natural expression. Frustration is expressed as the signal to the emotional communication that you are limiting yourself and that you are discounting yourself in some manner, that you are not enough, that you are not good enough, that you are not strong enough, that you are not fast enough, that there is some element of lack. You are lacking some expression within yourself, and that generates this signal of frustration. Frustration is not motivating. It is not empowering. It is a discounting of yourself. It is very beneficial to define what certain expressions do, and therefore to know what you are doing when you are expressing certain feelings. Irritation is a very motivating and empowering expression. Anger is very discounting and disempowering, and there is a difference between anger and irritation. Although irritation can be equally as intense, it can be expressed very intensely, but it is very different from anger. There are some feelings that prompt you to be disempowering yourself. There are some feelings that prompt you to empower yourself. You will notice if you are irritated, the indicator that you are not angry, although it may feel very similar, is that when you are irritated, generally speaking, you will stop. You will continue the feeling, but you will stop action, and you will consider. You will consider the situation that is prompting the irritation. And it will very quickly influence you to motivate yourself to engage some self-empowering action. I'm very irritated. This individual is generating this action, and I am irritated. And you will automatically, momentarily stop, and your imagination will engage, and you will automatically begin to motivate and self-empower yourself, and you will know that you incorporate choices, and you will begin presenting yourself with your options of choices. What can I do? What do I want to do? Mm-hmm. And you will.
What do you mean by self-empowering? How are you going to self-empower?
When you empower yourself, you are aware that you are directing. You have choices and you are directing. You are not being dictated to. Regardless of what other individuals or situations or circumstances are occurring, you know that it is your choice how to proceed. And that is empowering yourself
mm-hmm.
and acknowledging your own strength, which in many situations can be difficult. For, as we discussed previously, you do incorporate these attachments that are very strong, which do incorporate a tendency to deceive you into the thought process that you do not incorporate choices, or that you do not incorporate the power to engage certain situations, but you do. Which is also another aspect of commonality in all of these scenarios that you presented, that you are all experiencing, which is very unfamiliar, and that is this movement into your genuineness.
Mm-hmm.
Your genuineness has been hidden in a shell for a very long time framework, and it is very unfamiliar, and it is very easy to question whether it is acceptable or not.
Mm-hmm.
This is genuinely my expression, but can I express this? Should I express this? Is it acceptable? Can I actually genuinely be me? Will other individuals accept that?
Mm.
Will I be opposed? These are automatic wonderings and questionings that you present to yourself. I want to do this. Will other individuals perceive me as good enough to do this? For in the movement into your genuineness and your genuine self, you begin to actually experience whether your thought process is caught up to the experience or not. You begin to experience the also genuine interconnectedness, which presents the automatic questioning in relation to other individuals, what they think, what they feel, what they perceive, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. For you are beginning to experience that genuine interconnectedness, which also triggers in this circle the automatic response of isolating.
Hmm.
And fear.
Mm-hmm.
The interconnectedness is fearful. It seems exposing. If I am interconnected with all that is, where am I? If I am all that is, what am I? For I am this individual.
I had an experience of that. It was just a moment, but I had I was looking at a picture of two actors, one observing, and for a second I was like, wait, that's me with him, but it's not me. And I got dizzy. And I didn't know who I was, and I just thought, we're just all the same.
It can be overwhelming. It can be confusing. It can be unnerving in your terms. You are very set in your own expressions of separation, your individuality. And moving into the genuineness of yourselves in your individuality and allowing yourselves to genuinely attempt and begin to express your own freedoms without limitations also brings to bear that interconnectedness and your automatic responses of fear to that. You have engaged what you would term to be, in varying years, a lifetime of isolating yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
A lifetime of being singular. And even in this, as much as any of you want to be genuinely free and genuine and interconnected and to know that and view that as such enlightenment, I would express to any of you in any particular moment when you are not engaging lofty thoughts of enlightenment and you are merely mundanely interacting with other individuals, it would not be unusual for any of you if another individual taps you or bumps you for you to respond with a flinch.
A what?
A flinch.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
In that, what is the other individual doing? They are invading your energy field. And you are accustomed to protecting your individual energy field. As they all move to touch.
Not us. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
March of Boots.
Yeah.
I'm watching.
You are not. Oh, can I just ask you one little question as an example to myself?
Thank you.
I had a really anxious, crummy day yesterday, and I was nervous about the group session and nervous about what am I going to do? Everybody's coming. I'm going to have everything be perfect, which I knew on one level was ludicrous speed, but on another level is what I do. So
yes.
I was really kind of in a crabby mood, and I sat over there, and Terry was here, and a couple of other people were here, and I put my hand on Terry's leg because I hadn't seen her in a year, and suddenly I was just so happy to be in the room with everybody. I swear to God, the whole craziness and the anxiety for an entire evening went away. But I was me, but I was okay to be me. Now, it was just a break for me. I felt like I felt interconnected to everybody, and just for that little moment, I'm not saying it's going to last forever, but I still kind of feel that way. I just want to ask you, is that an example to me of a piece of what you're saying? You're going to say no.
Not necessary.
Not necessary. Take the question back. Which is exhausted in your body consciousness.
God, wait.
Partially.
And I was sure. Exhausted, right?
Yeah. It is a beginning. Yeah.
Okay, can I ask a question? An example? I was like reading this book by Mark Oliver Everett, the Eels guy, and he grew up like near where I grew up. And as I'm reading the book, I'm also thinking of the Oversoul 7 book when you say, like, you do one thing in one focus and another thing is doing a similar thing in a focus. So as I'm reading this book, I'm feeling like he's very familiar to me, and like I feel like I've done these things, but yet it's totally different from me in the same way. Somehow I felt connected to him. But I don't know. Is that even in the direction? Or even, am I looking at in the right point, in the right direction?
Partially.
Partially.
It's a lot, Elias. I just want to say, on behalf of the entire room, it's a lot.
Now translate that.
Yeah.
That experience, okay. That feeling.
Yeah.
To every individual that you interact with in every moment, okay. In every day.
You know, I'm starting very, very so light that I don't even know if I'm pretending to myself, but I think I'm starting to feel that with different people. Very so light. Do you think I am? Can you just tell? Is it my imagination? I don't know.
I had the same feeling about her yesterday when I first saw her. I know her, but I've never been here or been her physical presence to my knowledge. In this dimension, or in this...
But usually you feel this way about 2 months. Are you 2 months?
Yeah.
Are you up? She's a 2 months...
Belonging.
Belonging, not 2 months alive. So
me too.
You don't feel this way about me, but you would feel that way about her.
You're 2 months belonging. You're 2 months belonging too? Maybe that's what we're feeling.
What?
I obviously not, because we're supposed to feel it with everybody.
But usually 2 months belonging... people drawn to and just you want to be next to them and feel so friendly and open.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that with other two more people, I wire them to them.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to
apologize. Okay.
So feel that way with
everybody.
That's huge.
I kind of can comprehend it in a far distant way. I think I am. Do you think I am? I just want to know.
We have a stage that we can answer all of our own questions and you could just sit and watch, you know?
That would be a nice story.
That would be an interesting session.
Did we like so
you should pay us.
If we're in that,
no idea.
Nice to pay us.
What did you say to him privately?
Yeah, right.
But actually, not to be funny, there is a feeling a lot of time that when you pose a question to yourself, you could get that message that you said. The communication question is if you have enough patience to wait and receive.
Yes.
So that definitely is there.
Yes. And in that... all of these feelings are attached to an emotional communication. And in this, it is significant to pay attention to what you are feeling and to acknowledge what you are feeling. And in that, to evaluate what is this message. What am I presenting to myself in this situation, which at times may be somewhat challenging, or in some situations it may be slightly disturbing to some of you to actually pay attention to what you are expressing to yourself, or you also encounter the tendency to judge what you are expressing to yourself.
Yeah.
And this is not necessarily wrong or bad, but that it is an identification. Just as if you are generating that feeling of sadness, and what may be the underlying communication is that you perceive that your choices are now limited. That's not bad. It is a recognition that you attach value not in a displaced manner, but that you attach value in relation to your choices in a manner that is not entirely self-directing. That the other individual or the other manifestation or the situation incorporates a co-creation with you.
Mm-hmm.
You are not solely creating your reality. Some of your direction is dependent upon the other manifestation and what it chooses. And if it chooses not to be here, that limits your choices. This is not a bad realization. It is a realization that offers you more choices and more empowerment and more clarity in relation to yourself. Let me also express in relation to fear. In some capacity, regardless of what the fear is, it is associated with some outside source. Regardless of whether you define a fear as an inward expression, and that it appears to you to be solely your own fear and involving no other expression outside of yourself, I will express to you quite definitely, fear is based in outside sources and how you respond and associate with them. Whether it be situations, whether it be circumstances, whether it be other individuals, other energies, and it matters not. There is always an outside source associated with fear. That is important to be aware of, for that can be very helpful when you are addressing to and evaluating a fear that you may be experiencing. For them, in that you can evaluate what possible outside sources are influencing this feeling of fear. And when you can identify what the outside sources are, you can also evaluate whether they are valid or not.
And is there valid?
If they are valid, you move into the next step, which is fear also denies you choices. Therefore, if the expression or if the outside source is valid, which for the most part, in most situations, it will not be. But in some situations, it may be. And in that, it is a matter of recognizing that and turning your attention to what are your choices now. For the most part, identifying the source or the influence of fear moves you in the direction of recognizing the lack of validity of it, and that dissipates it without moving in the direction of identifying your choices. That next step is generally not necessary, for you will automatically know that you incorporate choices, and it will not be important any longer. But if the fear is valid, the next step is to evaluate what your choices are, for regardless of what the threat is, for this is what fear is. It is a threat. And regardless of what the threat is, that is not to say that you do not incorporate any choices whatsoever. You always incorporate choice. We shall break, and we shall continue with your questions. No, it's all, and I experience the feeling of annoyance that there's always puzzles. I hate puzzles.
Mary wakes up. I hate puzzles.
I hate puzzles.
You just got up and started smiling. I didn't know Elias said.
There we go.
Did it do it? I didn't see it do it.
Oh. No, it says press record button.
Well, that's if you want to say, I only want to record for an hour. That would never work in this situation.
It said 30 minutes, actually.
I'm so confused.
But now it's just going to keep going until she turns it off. That's good. Press it again. If you want to say, like, only record for 1 hour and then stop.
Oh, then you can make it.
Oh, 30 seconds. That wouldn't work out too well.
I give my money.
Yeah, only for 4 hours, yeah. I think you should probably limit yourself to four hours at this one.
That's weird.
Too many of you,
no. I don't know how much space is on there.
So did you guys understand everything?
You should get everything now, we're what?
The yeah, I know.
How come, you know, I guess it's Bobby doesn't care about the fact that the clock is wrong.
Evaluated it. All our actions are based on that.
Yeah.
The clock is an hour off on the screen.
Yeah, it's sort
of. Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh, 344.
Oh, that's just the damn quarter. No, not the time on there.
Just the blink.
I'm always thinking of
quarter.
It's never on the right one.
Do 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 do.
I do that. I've been following the same thing. I'm
making
it up, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you
something
more serious than making your hair
go
in the back.
I tried to buy it for her, but she's, she has to just do it immediately.
Nothing is ready.
Well, exactly. Right.
What about this one, Mary? Got it already. Thanks. Thanks for the suggestion. All weekend. I give her ideas. That's
still something. I love it.
Last time I was here, you know, Mary had all the DVDs or whatever. No, you know, you should get the software that lets you just, you know, scan the barcodes in and it will catalog everything you have. And her eyes went like this. And I went to look at them, and everything I found was Mac, because I'm a Mac guy, so it was like, everything was Mac. So I was like, well, I had to look for something. I said, what about this one? I said, like, you can download a trial version and try this out. And it's like, by the time she gets back, oh, yeah, I tried it. I took it. I bought it.
Got
great.
It. Done.
I cataloged everything.
Yeah, twice.
I did. Everything.
You went to every single DVD and scanned it?
2,500.
How long did it take?
2 hours.
Wow, that's all.
It's fast. It's like
this is all.
Bing, 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 bing.
There's some more somewhere
how
else.
How many do you have?
Don't these shelves flip around in
there?
Oh,
yeah, 25 rooms in the back. But the shelves flip. It's doors. There's a cave of more.
But do you watch them?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And she lends them out and.
Yeah.
Can you make them sign them out now that you have them all cataloged? Can you write down this one left? And
I don't have to. As soon as they ask to borrow one, all I have to do is scan it before I give it to them and punch.
Put it in the folder.
Punch loaned.
But do you know, do you have to fill in who loaned it or you?
I can.
Big sister.
No.
But I don't always have to, but I can. So, but at least I know where they are.
That's awesome.
That they're not here in the house. So,
that's a good idea, but.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah,
all right.
Now I can't wait to organize.
Here we go, back again.
Okay, see you later.
To the nether world.
See you later.
Continuing.
She felt the bump.
Well, I'm saying, after the lunch, I'm relaxed. He comes in with a bit. Hello.
So if we were connected, she wouldn't have felt the bump, right? If she was connected? Is that how that works?
I was connected. I'm allowed to.
You won't fail.
But it won't startle you. Or it would.
It might. But it would not necessarily be bothersome.
No, it was not bothersome.
And you would not automatically retreat.
Cringe. I mean, sorry. Retreat.
Cringe.
You, anytime you're welcome to bump me.
I have a question.
Interesting.
You, when you started off the discussion, that part I remembered because I was half asleep for the rest of it. you stated that a commonality with all of the responses that we gave you, but one of the strongest ones was
disconnect and isolation.
Disconnect and isolation. But you didn't say much about what you meant by the term isolation.
Separation.
And is this isolation...
That was in the part where you fell asleep.
Within ourselves, huh?
I know, be a quiz later. Sorry.
I'll wait for the dreams. Is that isolation in what sense?
Withdrawing, right?
From each other.
From each other, from ourselves. The term isolation kind of just leaves me.
There are varying degrees. It is not a blanket situation, but it is a common factor in that, for the most part, it is the isolation of yourselves, not necessarily from yourself, but of yourself, from all that you actually are interconnected to, whether it be other individuals or other energies or your environment, and it is expressed in varying degrees, in which you are concentrated upon your own single entity.
Okay, I get the sense of being alone then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also wanted to...
That's very true for me. I have another question, and that is, I almost fell off this chair 3 times. I caught myself falling asleep. How is that connected with the material that you were describing, this business of what we're feeling and what are the physical influences involved there? Because my falling off the chair of sleep seems to fit in with your material, I wondered if you would use that as an example.
Very well.
And describe for me what there's more involved than the fact that I didn't sleep too well last night. My sense is that this is somehow connected with when I I'm involved in trying to assimilate some material, and I feel either overwhelmed or like I'm just not grasping it. I'm kind of like isolated from it, right? Is this...
And there is a disconnect.
Would you talk about that a little bit? I mean, what is that the message? I mean, what's the message there?
Yes. Now, for each individual, the message may be somewhat different, but in this situation, speaking in generalities, the first aspect is a disconnect.
Disconnect from?
Disconnecting from the actual interaction and partially from the information. Mm-hmm. Now, when that occurs, generally speaking, the individual may, in some situations, express initially that they are not necessarily interested. That is the automatic response. In many situations, once again, that may be very real, but it may not be valid. And the individual may actually incorporate an interest, but is disconnecting. In that situation, the individual is not quite assimilating, and partially what can be influencing of that is that the individual is generating a shield, a defense, that the information, the subject matter itself, that in combination with the direct interaction of energy with myself, for generally speaking, each of you that are participating are not entirely aware of and connecting with each other within the time framework that I am speaking. You are more focused upon the interaction between yourselves individually and myself, and the energy that is moving between us, which creates two factors: the energy itself and the response to that, the associations with that, and also the subject matter. The subject matter applying to yourself in creating a partial vulnerability that there can be an automatic shielding response from. And the other aspect of the direct interaction of energies between yourself and myself, and that creating an association of exposure. And in that, the shielding becomes not enough. And therefore, there is a communication, an instruction to the body consciousness
to fall asleep,
to close. That the combination of the energy and the information is vulnerable and exposing, not to myself, not to any other individual, but to yourself. And therefore, not that you are not assimilating, you are, but the processing aspect is not begun yet. That in that time framework, the processing is overridden by the shield and the defense. The information is, in your perception, valuable and perhaps interesting, but it is also generating that exposure and therefore vulnerability.
So that creates fear. Is it fear?
It may.
I don't feel fear.
Or it may merely create varying degrees of a threat. Threats do not always create fear, but they do generate a response and generally a reaction. reaction is another subject that we may discuss. For in moving into your genuineness, your genuine selves, and your genuine freedom, reaction is an aspect that is and will be addressed to more and more, that reaction is unnecessary. And in that, it is a defense. Which, if you are genuinely expressing yourself and your freedom, that defense is not necessary. For a reaction is an expression that you generate in association with a threat. When you feel threatened, even if you are not identifying the feeling, when there is a threat presented, you generally react. But there is no threat in essence. There is no threat in your genuine self. And there is no consequence.
So, is my is the threat a result of my beliefs regarding this material or regarding where I'm going with it?
Partially, and more so associations.
Associations?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Remember, associations are the evaluation that you generate in relation to any and all experiences, with the inclusion of a judgment, good or bad. Every experience that you generate, you also generate an evaluation of that experience. And that experience is, in some capacity, identified as either good or bad. Even neutral experiences fall into one of these two categories of good or bad.
Well, how would an individual work then? Would discovering what those associations are assist in minimizing the reaction to the threat?
Yes.
Discovering what those associations are?
Yes. Most definitely.
Okay. There's another question I have that's kind of dovetails with this. I read only a few days ago, you were talking about aggression and aggressiveness in terms of, you were saying, it's not violence, it's not negative, and it are aspects of our behavior that would serve us well in exploring the subconscious. It seems to fit in here somehow with this material. But it also seems to me to contradict, and I think with the statement that you've also made, that our progress should be easy. That's the wrong word. Effortless. So there seems to be a contradiction in my mind between the words aggressiveness and effortlessness.
Not necessarily.
Well, would you say something about that?
Very well.
I think it pertains to this.
Effortless is an aspect of perception. That is not to say that effortlessness does not require action or energy or even aggressive energy.
It's the perception of what's
it is the perception that labels actions as being effortless or as incorporating tremendous effort. When you view an action to be difficult, you label that as incorporating effort. When you view or perceive an action to be easy, it is effortless. Regardless of what the action is, that identification, those terms are directly linked to your perception of any action.
Then would you give me an example of what pursuing the subconscious aggressively, that I don't assimilate that. That doesn't mean anything to me without an example. Because I've attempted to, it's like in meditation. How could I be more aggressive in opening to the subconscious, or to, I guess that's how I would say it.
What would your subject be?
Needs to be a subject?
Let me define in relation to meditation. You can move in two very different directions with meditation. In one direction with meditation, the purpose, so to speak, is to be. The goal, if you will, is to be. Therefore, that type of meditation is designed to be experiencing your presence, your existence, your beingness. Now, in that type of meditation, that is the only subject, being. And in that type of meditation, it is an expression of clearing any aspect that influences the inclusion of any attachments. It is the action of experiencing your own individual genuine beingness.
Without attachment.
Yes. Therefore, one of the actions that is included is to quiet the thinking mechanism, not to be generating thought, and to quiet the emotional communications, and to merely experience your existence. Remember, emotional communications are very specific. They are responding to stimulus and what you are generating inwardly. It is a communication concerning what you are doing inwardly. Therefore, if you are generating this experience and action of genuine beingness, it is unnecessary to be generating any emotional communication. There is no communication that is necessary between the objective and the subjective awarenesses. They are one, they are merely being. Now, there is another...
Before you leave that, would aggressiveness as it applies to that refer to the clearing away of associations, in other words, the focusing of attention?
Yes.
Okay.
And would also include an aspect of determination.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
In the other form of meditation, that would involve choosing a specific subject, focusing upon a specific subject, and allowing yourself to merge with that subject, with the goal, so to speak, of generating new and more information. Opening yourself, opening your awareness to receive, and therefore presenting to yourself new or more information in relation to any particular subject that you choose. Now, in that, it is a very different type of meditation, for that type of meditation does not necessarily include the disconnect of the thought mechanism. For you're presenting new and more information, therefore, you are engaging your avenues of communication, and the thought mechanism's function is to process and translate that. Therefore, the turning off, so to speak, of the thinking is not necessary, for it does play a role in translating. And that can also include other actions such as visualizations. Not that that is necessary, but it can include that. In this, if you are generating a meditation in relation to a subject, aggressively engaging that would also include an aspect of determination, but it would also include a very focused attention in that one subject. To be streamlined in that one subject, and therefore to be very directed.
Okay, thank you.
You are very welcome.
To add another thing to that, there's the aspect, I mean, part of what you were describing, you were talking about in that there was two types of meditation, and one type of meditation which incorporates thought. You didn't use the word seeking out, you used the word recept, which is very different. So I'm trying to identify ways of going about, maybe this is the wrong way of doing it, but I'm trying to identify ways of looking at the world or doing things that I could identify as forcing energy, so I could force energy less. But it seems to me this sort of seeking out in this example would be a sort of force.
Yes,
force of energy.
I would agree.
Yeah.
For that is not necessarily allowing. The point in the action of meditation is allowing.
Right.
And therefore, in choosing a subject, so to speak, in the one meditation form in which you are including your thought mechanism, it is a matter of setting the intention,
right,
the subject, and being focused, mm-hmm, in that subject, not allowing the drifting into other directions, but being focused in that subject and allowing that subject to unfold,
mm-hmm,
to receiving the energy and the information that you have already set in your intention, and therefore you have already projected the energy to attract what you are interested in.
Right.
In this, when you are generating that action of actively seeking information in a meditation,
mm-hmm,
that almost nullifies the action,
mm-hmm,
for it is not allowing, and therefore you generate blocks and you do not accomplish as well. You may offer yourself small amounts of information, but you will not accomplish as well, and it is not effortless.
Right.
It will require more energy, for you are pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you are allowing and trusting your intention has been set, that is all that is required. The information is all available to you. It is merely a matter of being open and allowing that to be received.
Mm-hmm.
When you push, you cannot receive.
Mm-hmm.
For the action of receiving is being open and pulling in. If you are pushing, you are pushing out energy. And therefore, you create these two different streams of energy, and what occurs? They meet, match, and stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just as two objects that collide, energy moves in a very similar manner. That if you are projecting and pushing simultaneously to wanting to draw in, you may be partially drawing in, but you are also projecting that energy. Therefore, they meet, they collide, and they stop.
And it becomes frustrating.
Yes.
Yes.
For you generate a stop point.
Are there any situation where pushing would be a beneficial process?
Warding off demons?
No.
Okay, then let me ask you, how about if you want to do something but you don't find enough encouragement in yourself to do it, and but still once you find it anyway, because you pushed yourself initially, but once you get into the motion, so to speak, of whatever you wanted to do and you're doing it, you do get a satisfaction from it. So initial push was needed.
That is not necessarily a push.
What is it?
That may be the motivation which is inspiring you beyond apathy.
But it appears as you are still forcing yourself, right? Because you have to overcome some of your barriers.
This is very similar to that distinction between anger and irritation.
Mm-hmm.
Anger may feel very similar or even very much the same as irritation, but they generate two very different energies. When you are forcing and pushing, what you are doing is not genuinely what you want.
Right.
When you are forcing and pushing, an aspect in that is impatience. And what is patience?
Allowance.
Correct. Patience is allowing. It is not waiting. It is allowing. Therefore, if you are impatient, what are you doing? You are not allowing. And in this, pushing creates that expression of impatience, not allowing. And generally speaking, you may want to engage in action, but you may not feel entirely motivated to do it. Now, there may be many different reasons as to what influenced that feeling, that you may not initially be motivated to engage a particular action. It may be that you do not entirely trust yourself, or that you are not entirely acknowledging yourself. But there is a persistence that you want to do this action. And therefore, you may actually choose to override the hesitation or override the resistance, which is the discounting.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you are overriding that discounting of yourself and moving into the action regardless to allow yourself to accomplish. When you are pushing, you actually genuinely do not want to engage in action, and you are forcing yourself to generate it regardless. And there is no satisfaction in that.
Right.
Yeah. When you accomplish the action, you are not satisfied with it. For it was moving in a push, in a force. You did not actually want to engage it. It wasn't genuine to you. It may not be in alignment with your own guidelines. And you knew that, whether you define it to yourself or not, you are expressing that to yourself in your own communications, for your emotional communication is telling you, this is the message. You do not want to engage this action.
Feeling. That there's a lot of words, but there's some sort of a message that you're trying to impart on all of us that maybe is more concise, but there's some sort of important something. I mean, all of that you are saying is definitely teaching to sort of navigate in those waters of whether you feel it, why is it, and how do you interpret it. But there's something behind that I'm feeling that you haven't maybe said yet or something, I don't know. Something is still missing, you know, it's not so like disjoined a little bit. Is there anything that you want to say that you haven't said yet?
Oh, rest, yeah.
Volume.
There's something there. Yeah.
And what are you missing?
I don't know, it just feels that there's a lot of words, and I don't know necessarily how useful it is all for me to, you know, think, am I putting first left leg or right leg, and forget this word, like, oh, I just want to leave. I don't want to resolve puzzles all the time. I don't want to know what the hell I'm feeling, why I'm feeling that. Who cares? You know, I'm leaving. So while intuitively and maybe intellectually I realize that you're imparting very important information and a lot of people other than us will read it and probably learn from it, what else? There's something else there.
You are correct. It is not necessary for you to be analyzing every action that you engage. The point in this information is geared to the moments in which you are confused, or the moments in which you are not comfortable. The awareness of automatic responses that move you in directions that block your comfort, for you are so much more focused upon what generates discomfort for yourselves than what generates comfort. In this, it is not a matter of analyzing and evaluating every moment in every day of what you are doing and how you are doing it and what that involves and what that means. It is not a matter of generating excessively more effort. It is a matter of understanding that the more information that you offer to yourself, the more clearly aware you become of yourself automatically, which does not require analyzation.
It seems that amidst of all of this confusion that occurs, I agree with you, it's somehow, I'm talking about myself, okay, somehow it's still easier to just sort of relax into things and say, just, I guess to say, not to judge myself as much. Just go with whatever it is. And sometimes I just don't know why I want to do this, but I feel I need to continue.
And congratulations.
Well, thank you. And also,
and there are many, many, many individuals that do not allow themselves that.
Okay. I just also wanted to, I don't know, maybe other people would relate to it. So the feeling is a signal, and if from what we understood today, if you also can get from the feeling to the message, perhaps that signal would dissipate. And sometimes I even know that I do this type of, you know, I maybe didn't verbalize it the way you do, but you know, some analysis occurs. But it seems to be what I notice right now, that there is a sort of emotional attachment to a certain state, and so while I understand that it may be not the best state to be in, intellectually, I also feel that part of me just likes to stay in it for maybe a drama or the melancholy feeling of it. So I guess there is a value to a feeling itself as a feeling until you sort of go through it and then let go.
Quite so.
Okay.
Yes. For in this, there are many feelings that were I just to present the word to you, melancholy or sad or anxious, your automatic response is that those are bad.
Yes.
That you do not want to feel that.
I don't feel distressed.
Or distressed. But in many situations, you actually do enjoy those feelings. If you engage a play or an opera or a film or a book or a song or even a composition of music that invokes a feeling of melancholy or anxiousness or sadness or distress, you do not dislike the presentment of what is triggering those feelings. And you do not even dislike those feelings. You actually appreciate those feelings in that moment that are being invoked in that manner. It allows you a safe and comfortable experience of feelings that you generally label as negative without the negative aspects. Therefore, it allows you to express energy in a different manner that is beneficial. It allows you to express a diversity within yourself in relation to your feelings without drama, without trauma, and without personally affecting yourself in a negative manner.
Also, I appreciate that. That makes sense to me. I just wanted to ask about that disconnect you were talking earlier. I am observing, we have a group of friends in New York that we get together and together eat such material, we'll discuss matters as such. And I've been noticing, and then even other groups that are similar, over maybe past 6 months, that somehow spontaneously all of us meet less. Somehow all of us either busy or something else, and I also generate less interest in reading sessions and things like that. I don't perceive any of that as bad. I feel neutral to it. I notice that movement. And I'm thinking, are we reaching some sort of a state where one needs sort of... I don't know. It is maybe isolation, but in a way I find that isolation perhaps is beneficial on some level, that we trying to really... like search for the genuine self or something like that.
Yes, and in some capacities it is.
When we reconnect, there is no barrier because we didn't see each other for so and so. Everything just very seamless, and yet there is tendency to spread out for so and so.
Yes, which is also an aspect of the process. When I express to you that the commonalities that you express were disconnect and isolation, for the most part, most of you automatically generated a negative association with those words. Mm-hmm. I did not express that they were negative.
Okay. That is so interesting because I so went there. Oh, so you
did not express that they were bad.
Wow. What an automatic association. Right, yep. There in living color.
You do this with words.
Words are
continuously.
Good.
Continuously. I express a word, disconnect. I express a word, isolation. You automatically associate bad.
Mm-hmm. And discount immediately.
I thought you said that this is bad news.
No, intensity is the bad news.
I expressed that the bad news was that this wave was intensifying in your perception,
right.
Bad news.
Okay.
Intensifying as it is moving out.
One thing that's confusing me is that it's a question of definition. You seem to be using feelings and emotions interchangeably. And I know one is kind of different than the other. I'm emotionally focused, so I deal with emotions, and religious-focused people have feelings. That sounds an odd way to put it, but there's a difference between
yes.
One
how you process
yes.
and what...
Yeah.
Well, what the answer
so what
is it?
Now, in this, if you are speaking of focus types...
Not necessarily, you just use that, but just to... distinguish between
that's a good
which is
yes,
which
but
is
in generating the example
fine.
Of a focus type and the identification of a religiously focused individual, which you I would express
Teddy.
Hopefully are all aware that religiously focused is not associated with any aspect of religion.
Yes, I'm lying.
All. But in this, yes, there is a quality of processing information through feelings. Now, in this, that encompasses more than merely the feelings associated with emotional communications. There are many types of feelings. There are body signals that are feelings. You incorporate physical feelings. You incorporate feelings in relation to sensing. There are many different types of feelings.
So emotion is a type of feeling.
The signal to emotion is a type of feeling, yes.
Okay.
Emotion itself does not incorporate any feeling. It is a communication. The signal that accompanies the emotion is the feeling. Yeah.
Okay. So emotion,
the difficulty that you
we're redefining them, right?
The difficulty that you incorporate is that throughout your focuses, you have been taught that feeling and emotion are synonymous.
Okay, that's
it. And they are not. Feelings are a signal. They are signaling you that there is an emotional communication. How have we defined emotion? What is emotion? Communication.
Well, what other? You said emotional communication. Are there other communication from the essence to focus?
Yes.
Other than
inspiration.
Yes. There are many different avenues of communication. Emotional communication is your subjective communication in relation to what you are doing inwardly to your objective waking awareness. There are many other avenues of communication, which are your senses, all of your senses, inner and outer. Your body consciousness incorporates communications, your impulses, your intuition. There are many different avenues of communications.
So what's the good part about isolation and separate, sorry. When you said disconnect and isolation.
I'm not sitting on your doorstep.
Yeah, but you are. And I'm happy about that. It's fine. But what I mean is, I immediately, like you said, went into the direction of, shit, I'm isolating again. Oh dear, I should go out and be with the people. I don't want to go out and be with the people. And I'm in conflict, because that's my automatic response. To push myself to go out and be with the people, because isolating is bad.
Well, people don't want to be with you too, though.
Yeah, they do. You know what I mean.
There's something else you're disconnected
from. That's kind of belief, and you're not allowing yourself to just allow yourself to be where you are in that space. And
that's the good news, right?
Yeah.
That's the good news. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, let's see what she thinks.
That's my point. That's the good news, what she just said. So what? It's good news. Is it part of the process of becoming genuinely connected with my wonderment for more than 3 seconds at a goddamn time?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're not frustrated.
Which
right now,
is very
No, man, I have that
look,
right?
Yeah.
I hope that wasn't anger. I hope that was irritation and not anger.
It's okay.
Which is very similar to what I was expressing previously in relation to the body consciousness and weight. That the body consciousness approaches a particular point in which it slows and perhaps stops in a particular direction. Temporarily.
I missed the temporary word for a while there. Right.
And this, the isolation and the disconnect are a part of this process. But what you automatically do is you must do something. You must change it. You are experiencing a process of becoming more aware of your genuine selves and identifying your attachments, mm-hmm. what your threats and consequences are that you associate with, which creates fears. Mm-hmm. Your exploration of your associations. And in that, yes, there is an aspect of your process in which you turn inwardly and you are generating an aspect of disconnect and isolation to generate that process of connecting with self and being more clearly aware of self and therefore being more clearly aware of associations and what triggers certain expressions that generate being uncomfortable. Right. And becoming more self-directing. But in being impatient and in viewing the disconnect or the isolation as bad, there is an automatic reaction to change it, to push it away, to move forward. To do a different action.
Because if I don't, something bad will happen.
Yeah.
In my case, I'll become a hippopotamus. Now, I hate to use myself as an example here, but you and I have been talking about this little subject for a long time, of weight, not weight, body consciousness. I think I'm beginning to commence to maybe start to get it that I can trust my body. But this is just beginning. I could fall down fast. But the key for me is that thinking, the fear is, I can't stop dieting. I'll eat the earth. But you know what? It's been 2 months, and I thought I ate the earth, but I really didn't eat the earth. And my body is fine. But honest to God, that... I know this is boring.
No, it's not boring.
It's because this is my little thing. But in being afraid of not dieting... I was really afraid not to diet. I am back to allowing myself to eat. My preference is to have a routine when I eat. That's not bad. It's okay. But I was confused thinking that the stop point was forever. Mm. And then I was confused because, okay, if I can lose weight, what if I get too skinny? Really, that's how crazy it is in my head. So I've been living this example, and I'm starting to understand that it's okay, and I can slow down and trust the stop point. And not push.
That was actually a good result.
Say congratulations. Yes. Just once.
Congratulations.
No, really, I don't have to. I'm congratulating myself. Yeah, I am congratulating myself. It's pretty cool. But it's been hell, Harry. Particular hell. Anyway.
Well, we all know how to create our own excitement.
Don't we?
I have a question. I'm hearing that this stop point, no matter what the subject around it is, mm-hmm. is a particular bugaboo for most people. And it feels to me that the real stop point that's the real bugaboo underneath all bugaboos is death. Because it feels like that stop point is a kind of dying. To not do... feels like dying. To stop to really listen to somebody feels like dying. You have to let go of yourself to really listen.
That's good.
So I'm just wondering that's what I'm getting here as I listen, that there's a connection here to this fear that if you stop doing what you think is who you are, what you become to know, the story you've told yourself about yourself, if you stop doing that, you lose yourself.
That's the good news. I know I can hear that it might be good news on the other side. You're not really losing yourself. But is that what...
And that is not the point. You are not losing yourself.
That could be the fear, though.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying there's a part of me that can jump to the other side of that and say, that's the beginning of the best part.
Correct.
That's the awesome part, and
correct.
I can go there.
So that's but I am understanding what you are expressing, that that can be fearful for the perception is if I am not my genuine self now, what am I?
Mm-hmm.
And if I do not know my genuine self now, what is it that I would present to myself that would be me?
The unknown you.
You are not losing you. And in this, even in relation to attachments, you are not... eliminating those in a manner that they do not exist or that they are not real. And you are not detaching them in a manner that they are not associated with you at all any longer. We incorporated the example previously of one very large and very common attachment of independence. Mm-hmm. And how you all view independence as good. And that the more you express independence with yourselves, the more you view that, the more you perceive that as actually part of your genuine self. It is not a part of your genuine self. It is an attachment. Now, in identifying that it is an attachment, the point, just as you were expressing, is not that all that you know within your reality is all wrong and all must be removed, or that all of your reality must be extremely analyzed to evaluate if it is right or wrong. It is an aspect of your freedom, knowing what these attachments are, knowing what the associations are, is not to say that you may necessarily even choose to change them. You may not. But that is a choice. It is not automatic any longer. It is not a reaction. It is not an automatic response. It is a choice that you generate intentionally, which allows you to intentionally direct yourself. In this, with our example of the attachment of independence, this is not to say that it is bad to view yourself as an independent individual, or to express independent behaviors. But to know what those are and what is motivating them. And to know that they are your choices, not that they are expressions that you have been taught or that you have learned that are better. But that you choose an action, for it does move with your own individual guideline. It is natural for you.
It's very tricky.
and therefore knowing that your own differences are very acceptable. There are some individuals within your reality that do not move in the direction of associating with that attachment of independence. Naturally, that their natural flow of energy, their natural expression does not move in the direction of the expressions of how you define independence. And those individuals will struggle or do struggle for them. They generate expectations of themselves. I should be this. I should do this. Or individuals that generate a sensitivity, an emotional sensitivity, a feeling sensitivity, in which they respond to situations and other individuals in a feeling manner that you define as being emotional. But in many situations, in many capacities in your reality, socially, this is not entirely viewed as acceptable. That is their natural expression, but the attachment is you should be strong. You should be stoic. Mm-hmm. You should be logical. You should be rational. Mm-hmm. You should not be always responsive. You should be controlled.
So attachment, expectations, and judgment are very close.
They move very much together. And in this, once again, it is not a matter of continuously analyzing every action that you generate, but each of you incorporates moments and situations in which you are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And it is important and significant to understand what generates that. What are you moving in opposition to that is generating that discomfort? What are you responding to or reacting to that creates fear? Mm-hmm. Threat can be expressed without fear. Fear is not expressed without threat. Fear is the combination of the perception of threat and consequence, whether they are actual or imagined. It is the combination of the perceived threat and consequence. What is the threat and what is the perceived consequence that you anticipate, not that you are actually experiencing? You may be experiencing the feeling of fear, but you most likely are not experiencing the actual threat or the consequence. You are anticipating the threat and the consequence. Mm-hmm. And that generates the fear, for it is not being addressed to. And, generally speaking, you do not even define it. You do not ask yourselves, what is the threat? What is the consequence? What is possibly the consequence? And is that actually genuine? The point is that you all incorporate situations and moments in which you are confused, in which you are uncomfortable, in which you are distressed, in which you are fearful, and in that you do not want to be. Mm-hmm. Therefore, how do you not be? And moving your attention to the outside perceived sources is not helpful. It does not dissipate the feeling. It does not alleviate the discomfort. And therefore, what will generate that? And also knowing that the clearer you are with yourselves, the more information that you incorporate, the more you understand objectively, the greater and the broader the spectrum of your choices, of your options, of your directions, of what you can engage and what you will engage. And in that, the more empowering it is to you each, and the more self-directing you become. No, once again, you are not creating utopia. You will, if you choose to continue this reality, present challenges to yourself. Challenge is another word that does not automatically mean bad. But, yes, you will continue to present challenges to yourself. And in some situations, you will continue to present situations and experiences that are not entirely comfortable. But you will know what they are, and you will know what your choices are in relation to them, as you express. I may not always be comfortable, but I know I can allow myself to feel that and to move with it, and it dissipates. And I trust that I will offer myself a direction or information. Even if I do not incorporate that information now, I trust I will offer that to myself. In situations that the individual perceives as intense, regardless of what it is, whether it is, in your terms, a bad intense or a good intense, individuals do not necessarily, for the most part, automatically exercise patience. And they want an immediate answer. And if they do not present themselves with an immediate answer, objectively, that their thought mechanism can translate, they begin to generate actions for the feeling arises, the signal which is expressing inwardly your communication now is you are being impatient. This is what you are doing. You are not allowing. And the feeling emphasizes that, and rather than acting upon the message, you act upon the feeling. I am uncomfortable, and I will act upon the feeling. The feeling is elusive. It will dissipate. with the information, as intense as you can generate any feeling, it can dissipate in a moment if you understand the information. If you understand the communication, you instantly dissipate the feeling, for it is not necessary. It is specifically designed to be an alarm. If you are noticing the fire, it is not necessary for the alarm.
Yeah, I notice when I am feeling sleepy, if I completely allow myself to go directly to bed and lay down, before I even lay down, then okay, I can go back and do it.
That's why I cannot get you to bed.
Rani was talking about being sleepy, but I think my sleepy is something different, because I feel extremely drowsy through this session in the moments. And I don't know, maybe those are the crystals that are doing something?
And what is your impression?
The crystals are doing something.
I don't know, but I have a lot of vibration in the upper body, and it's just very palatable, very physical. And then it goes through a period of such an extreme drowsiness, and then I'm okay again. So, what is your impression?
I have explained many times previously, crystals in different capacities are receptors. They are conductors of energy.
Yeah.
And they are conduits.
Okay.
And therefore, in the physical presence of crystals in different capacities, and depending upon your own openness and your own movement of your own energy, they can be very distracting.
I think it's a combination of both, though. I think some of that information I also might shield and block, but some of the vibration probably comes from the right of me.
They can be incorporated in either direction. They can allow an individual to be very focused, or they can be very distracting and scattering. Mm-hmm. For it is dependent upon how you are directing or not directing your own energy.
I found both to be true. I've seen both myself.
If your energy is drifting, if it is scattered, crystals can be very distracting, for they absorb that energy and respond to you by pulling that energy more.
Okay.
Or they can be very instrumental in focusing your energy, for you are directing it and the crystals are reflecting that.
So shielding, like what you described right, might have occurred, but also some distraction for the crystals.
Yes.
Just as curious thing. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
What's the next wave in consciousness?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like you're going to tell us.
That would be your choice, would it not?
What are left?
When you choose, I will...
It's not been chosen yet.
Express it, and I will identify.
There's only two left, right?
I hope next week the consciousness will not be a tsunami. As long as it's not a tsunami, I'm okay with it.
But that also would be your choice, would it not?
You still a dream about waters rising, scary.
Once again. Automatic interpretation.
See?
Water's rising. Bad.
I didn't say bad. I told her that the probably says it's being submerged.
And it's scary good.
Could be scary good.
Just be precise.
Thrillers.
Alain, you said earlier that fear is generated for outside of ourselves?
are from outside of ourselves. So I'm thinking when we're all knowing our interconnectedness, will fear naturally dissipate? Will it disappear?
In my lifetime.
Let me connect with you all!
Oh, by the way, I have a question. When, you know, sometimes when you really get into... Well, I'm talking again about myself. I'm not really... But when you really get into that feeling of, I guess, the most acceptance and allowance that you could offer yourself, it's to me, it's very akin to love, you know, a big type of love. And in that state, you know, when I meditate or whatever I do, I very naturally switch from attention from myself to all of a sudden maybe the whole planet, right? I think I've heard of that before, but I just want to understand, is it really beneficial for the entire planet when I direct my energies
yes.
this way to every individual?
I do yes. believe
that. It's like pooling energy yes. when yes. others are of like mine.
So
you're magnifying.
So I'm not doing that in Wayne. If it moves me there, I could. Because sometimes I start question, but it's okay.
Yes.
Then do more.
Huh?
I said, do more.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe create some hurricane in Haiti or whatever. That but no, usually it's very, very all-embracing. At that point, I really feel that everything is me. You know, every yeah. single individual and literally every, whether
yes.
they...
and it is very like affecting.
That. That's cool.
Okay.
It definitely is rippling.
It is. Yes. Even if one individual does that.
Yes.
Yes.
I cannot emphasize strongly enough the power and the significance of one individual, of each and every one of you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that I asked. It's
that you
important
each very definitely ripple outward much more and much more strongly than you realize or than you recognize.
But you know how often we feel helpless because there's something happened and I seemingly could only do so much, I send money or something, but I don't go and, you know, I don't go on political agendas and stuff like that. So what you're saying,
it matters not.
Do. I could do
your energy.
You are doing.
Is doing.
In every moment,
it
you are affecting.
That's wonderful.
You are continuously affecting.
What will it signify? Like, you had a question about the waves, but what will it signify when they're all done? Because we've only got three left.
Oh, my God.
Right? Certain senses, science, and religion.
And?
Sexuality.
We did that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I missed the boat on
that.
Oh.
Well,
you were there, you just didn't know it.
I'm getting off on making
wait,
all my
science.
Difference.
But we're more than 50% of the way through.
Science,
religion,
senses, right?
Senses. And
what's the one where you think you're going to be upside down? Probably senses.
Oh, come on, Lauren.
Universe.
Universe.
Like, that's a belief system? Universe?
What?
I didn't know.
Universe is a belief
the
system.
Sure. The universe?
What we think
the
about
creation.
The
creation.
The creation of the universe, which is not religion,
yeah.
although there's beliefs about that in religion. Creation of the universe, religion, science, and senses.
Oh.
Certain senses.
Do we get through with all of them before 2012? Or,
I don't know.
I just wanted to say just one little thing before we go our separate but not ways. Jail says hi. Okay, Bob?
And you may offer my greetings.
I will. You just did. Okay.
Oh, I thought something. Because this is an interesting small group together, is there another focus, time framework situation where we've all been together in a similar sort of way?
Yes.
Would you elaborate?
Both past and future.
Really?
Yes.
We're the committee.
Both past and future. But that's all we're getting so far.
Wait.
Past.
Yes.
Would it be within your 18th century, which you are all participating together?
The French Revolution.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And future
would
be within a time framework of your 2400s. And you all participate in that in a similar group, not in this capacity, but in a new exploration in relation to your universe.
You still up there?
Very different capacities. Oh,
wow. Are you still there answering our questions like that?
No, not in this capacity. Oh. In an exploration that you share together in relation to your universe.
Far beyond what is known to you now. Revolution.
Will be on all sides?
Yes.
Will what?
But all known to each other and all participating with each other.
And so why are we gathering together?
Get to know each other.
No.
Because we can.
No.
That was already known.
We're already known to each other.
And in that being already known to explore different direction that does not necessarily entirely incorporate the conflict that was being expressed. Okay. Not being comfortable with that conflict in different capacities, for there was not an entire agreement in philosophies.
With regard to the revolution.
Wanting to honor the relationships and the connections, and therefore exploring and seeking out a different direction.
That's such an awesome question.
I love us.
Cool.
I have a quick question from Annette Pauline, if I could. She was saying that she has had some unpleasant experiences with intermediates. She's soft. And has been, and that has been the case with two common friends and relatives. And she supposes that it might be part of the emotional wave and that intensity, but is said she wasn't sure if the science wave had begun yet or not.
No.
Okay.
But will.
Eventually.
Within your maybe. Who knows? It's your choice.
And when the science
then I choose to have it start.
No, he didn't just say
but,
the science.
But don't you say when the science phase is going to be, that's when a lot of discoveries are going to be? So
perhaps.
That's a possibility.
It is a possibility.
Vertical collider, the initiator of the science
wave. The resurgence of orgone energy. So
what's
energy?
iPad 2.0.
You shut up.
We shall see. What do you have not chosen? Whether that will be your next wave or not.
All right, but what
remains to be seen.
Okay. What have we chosen? By
you have not chosen.
I'm not talking about waves. We can't talk about waves. What have we chosen? Anything we've chosen right now that you know of, that you are able to divulge? Like,
in what
where we progress in with to be or not to be?
That's a choice.
That is the question.
That is the
question. It's identifying.
Precise. Very well, my friend.
Oh, wait, my second. Veronica wanted
to. Elias, I've recently begun the practice of Qigong. Is this practice an alternate way of accessing self, universal energies as a pathway to self?
You can. You can interpret it as a method.
Is there a hierarchy of energy exercises?
No.
What you see is what you get.
Can I just find out if I'm intermediate or not?
Yes.
I am. Emotional?
And that doesn't like you.
Yes.
Is that initiating?
No.
Continuing. I don't know what the other
continuing.
Oh, okay. It's either initiating, continuing,
or final.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
May I quickly have my essence here?
Oh, I thought we had it. We want it.
Marcel.
Ooh. Marcel?
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. So, I want to be a new essence name. No, I want to get on fire at the bottom.
M-A-R-C-E-L? Because you didn't spell it. It's usually the regular.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
They stay the same, don't they? Pretty much through your focus?
Basically.
Intermediate. Emotional.
They do focus.
Online.
And they do fluctuate.
Continue.
So what's my now?
So do the families.
Same.
So do the families, right? That you're...
Yes, you stick with the family usually, unless you fragment in the family.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm still two molds, smiling. Or is it smiling?
So are there past tense I can get all with all me?
Oh, yes. Unless you want to know, and you could...
I don't want to. Everybody ahead. Here already knows. I don't know what the essence and the family and the.
Well, we can tell you.
You mean for yourself or just in general?
In general.
You can get that
from us. Yeah.
We'll talk to you around.
I have an essence name. Do I have an essence name? Is
no.
Something that.
You're the only one that does it.
Sorry.
The nameless void.
I'm having a feeling.
Helen is getting her essence name, Bob.
Okay. Essence name, Lily.
Oh, wow.
L-I-L-L-I-E.
Who doesn't love a
beautiful.
Lily?
Wow.
Wow. I want a new essence.
You want a new essence?
She may want her essence family in alignment and orientation.
Essence family. Smarty.
Yeah.
Alignment. To mold.
Oh, cool. Let's see.
I like you instantly.
She's orientation. Soft. Intermediate.
And she's what, emotionally?
Focus type. Religious.
Religious over here.
I'll send you the link.
Trust
me.
I don't know.
Very well, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Very welcome.
You feel
yourself. I extend my very sincere affection to each of you. Great encouragement, as always. Tremendous supportiveness in your journeys and your explorations. Tremendous lovingness and friendship.
And
we all
ditto.
Au revoir.
Thank you. My mother's back.
Yeah.
Oh, your mother's back.
Gokey's on.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah,
your mother's.